folks. The third hour is on. This is the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. Brandon Morello is in the Pentagon right now. They're at a live press briefing. We're going to go to that briefing just as soon as we get it pulled up. We'll go to your phone calls until then. But we're expecting Brandon to at least be able to ask a few questions, and we'll probably get an update as to the, there's the actual briefing feed is live now, but we'll wait until somebody's at the podium, and then we'll go to that video. And I think that's Brandon sitting there in the front row and getting ready to ask probably some pertinent questions as part of the new, alternative group of reporters there at the Pentagon, since all the mainstream people have been kicked out. They've been booted. Let's go out to your calls. Once again, we got James in Indiana. Thanks for calling in, James, on line four. You are on the air.
You know, President Trump's given out bonuses to everybody that worked during the government shutdown, and the senators won $500,000 for being illegally spied on. How about giving January Sixers that served time in jail $1,500 a day for being illegally targeted?
Yeah, that'd be great. They should absolutely get restitution. Black Lives Matter protesters got $20,000 apiece for being zip-tied for 5 minutes during a riot. Why people who have been subjected to torturous conditions as January 6 prisoners haven't been, helped out, I can't explain why not. We haven't pushed for it, I guess.
I would like to see Morello, since she's in D.C., to push that $1,500 a day. President Trump could do it with a swipe of a pen. These people wouldn't even have to fill out anything. They just send them a check in the mail. That's what needs to happen. It's disgusting. Senators came out and said when the DOJ wants to put somebody, they will target somebody that they don't agree with and try to put them in jail. They are illegally targeting people in this country. Congress needs to metaphorically destroy the Justice Department, reform it, and get rid of conviction rates. That's the one thing destroying this country is conviction rates. They don't care if you're innocent.
Well, what do you mean?
When they target somebody, they're so inclined of setting people up and doing whatever they have to do to get a conviction. Prosecutors in this country are more worried about conviction rates than actual justice. So they need to get rid of conviction rates in this country.
Well, yeah, to a certain degree, you're right. But then we have story after story of people, being let out 20 times. I guess that increases the conviction rate. If you can get a felony conviction and then immediately let them out on the street to commit more crime, then you get another felony conviction right after that. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's more like the, Gulag Archipelago story where, when a criminal has a knife, he's just a victim of society trying to survive. But if you have a knife, you're a terrorist, okay? And it's that much worse. So, again, we were going over this yesterday with, the Idaho bar that had underage people drinking. So, they're the police storm in and arrest everybody. And it's like, okay, so if you drink alcohol as an 18-year-old, you're going to get the full court press, raid by the cops, hauled away in handcuffs. But if you commit open treason repeatedly, trying to undermine the morale of the U.S. Army as an active member of the Army and a senator, Mark Kelly, nothing happens to you. It's just like, do we even have laws? Like, what are laws? What is the point of them? Why? Like, what determines whether one is enforced or not? It seems entirely arbitrary at this point. It's anarcho-tyranny on steroids. So, yeah, we got a lot of problems. And I don't know what you mean by metaphorically destroy the DOJ. Why don't we just destroy the DOJ? Why don't we just uproot it all and start over? Because clearly the judicial system in this country is utterly and completely broken. Between the judges issuing national injunctions despite the Supreme Court saying they can't, and letting out criminals to kill and rape people over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah, we've got some pretty big issues with the Department of Justice. Like, it does the opposite of what it's supposed to do. Why should we have it at all? Getting rid of it would be an improvement, as far as I'm concerned.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle We're the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt. Go get a ball cap. Get the ultramethylene blue. Get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for AutoShip. Get 50% off. You can cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, folks, today at 1 p.m. Central Time, Nick Fuentes will be joining Alex Jones on The Alex Jones Show. You can watch and stream it at Infowars.com/show. We're also on Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show. And, of course, you can watch live on X, comment along at Real Alex Jones at Infowars. Nick Fuentes and Alex Jones, 1 p.m. today. It's always an exciting event when those two get together and, of course, talk about a generational run. I know Nick is doing a bunch of appearances this week, but he starts off with InfoWars. It was provided a platform for Nick for the last 6 years or so, because despite everybody else being scared of what he's saying, we actually listen to what he's saying and are able to take jokes that other people seem incapable of shouldering. So very excited to talk to watch Alex talk to him. I got my own plans. I got my own plans coming up because I want to end out the year and do a big, you know, year in review. And thinking about the biggest stories of the year, one of them's got to be Nick Fuentes, the rise of Nick Fuentes. Has got to be one of the top political stories in America this year. And I wonder how he feels about that. It's got to be a strange feeling knowing that you've got people like Chuck Schumer introducing bills in the Senate to condemn you by name. What a weird turn of events for the dude in his home studio talking about politics. Very interesting stuff. So Brandon Morello is live in the Pentagon right now. We're going to go to that. They're talking about the National Guard shooting with some updates there. So we go now live to the Pentagon, where InfoWars reporter Brandon Morello sits in the front row waiting to ask a question. But first, they give us some new facts about the terrorist shooting of National Guard members in Washington, D.C. Let's watch.
Welcome. So good morning and welcome to the Department of War. Before we begin, I want to take a moment to recognize and honor Specialist Sarah Beckstrom, the guardsman who was murdered in D.C. this past weekend. She is an American hero, and we will never forget her service and sacrifice. While we mourn her loss, we will continue to pray for the full recovery of Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf, the other service member critically injured in this heinous attack. This attack on our National Guardsmen in D.C. follows months of Democrat elected officials demonizing the National Guard, portraying them as a threat to our republic, and attempting to sow discord in their ranks. To name a few examples, Governor Gavin Newsom claimed that President Trump was fabricating emergencies in order to justify the deployment of the National Guard in some major cities. Governor J.B. Pritzker claimed that the deployment of the National Guard amounted to an attack on the American people. Outside an ICE facility in California, Rep. Maxine Waters taunted the troops standing guard and demanded to know whether they intended to shoot her. And of course, the Seditious Six urged members of our military to defy their chain of command in an unprecedented, treasonous, and shameful conspiracy to sow distrust and chaos in our armed forces. This rhetoric insults our warfighters who put their lives on the line every day to keep Americans safe, and it creates an environment where criminals feel emboldened to commit violent acts against them. Right now, over 2,200 National Guardsmen from all across the country are serving as a part of Joint Task Force DC, with an additional 500 on the way. Each one of them will continue working to ensure the safety of all who live, work, and visit the district. We will not lose sight of our mission. This targeting will only embolden our resolve. Our warriors are strong, and we will not back down until our capital and our cities are secure. Defending our homeland and rescuing America's greatest cities from endemic violence is the highest and best use of our military. I would also like to take a moment today to welcome all of you here to the Pentagon Briefing Room as official new members of the Pentagon Press Corps. We're glad to have you. Legacy Media chose to self-deport from this building, and if you look at the numbers, it's pretty clear why no one followed them. National trust in these mainstream media outlets has cratered to 28%, the lowest ever recorded. The American people don't trust these propagandists because they stopped telling the truth. So we're not going to beg these old gatekeepers to come back, and we're not rebuilding a broken model just to appease them. Instead, we're welcoming new media outlets that actually reach Americans, ask real questions, and don't pursue a biased agenda. The public has moved on from the old model, and so will the Pentagon. This is the beginning of a new era. We look forward to working with you to keep the American people informed and to ensure transparency. In the interest of transparency, I want to provide an update on the department's operations against narco-terrorists in the Western Hemisphere. To date, there have been a total of 21 kinetic strikes on drug boats in our hemisphere, with 82 narco-terrorists killed. Each strike conducted against these designated terrorist organizations is taken in defense of vital U.S. national interests and to protect the homeland. Our operations in the Southcom region are lawful under both U.S. and international law, with all actions in compliance with the law of armed conflict. These actions have also been approved by the best military and civilian lawyers up and down the chain of command. A completely fake story in the Washington Post, now discredited by the New York Times, tried to mischaracterize these successful strikes in bad faith. It was an attempt to damage the secretary and the president, and the people saw through it. The phony Washington Post story even attributed statements to the secretary that were totally fabricated. He never said them. That is the epitome of fake news. As the White House confirmed yesterday, the decision to restrike the narco-terrorist vessel was made by Admiral Bradley, operating under clear and long-standing authorities to ensure the boat was destroyed and the threat to the United States was eliminated. Secretary Hegseth stands behind Admiral Bradley 100%. Admiral Bradley made the right call, and unlike the previous administration, we have our warfighters back at this department. This department will defend our homeland. This is not a catchphrase. It is a commitment. And as the secretary said, when it comes to killing narco-terrorists, we have only just begun. Lastly, I would like to announce that the War Department has created a new division for strategic marketing that will be led by Abby Lower, who will hold the title of Deputy Assistant to the Secretary of War for Strategic Marketing. The division will be a new core function within public affairs and will complement our media and strategic engagement teams. The purpose of this new division is to create marketing campaigns that support the War Department's military recruitment efforts, providing a halo effect to the great work the military services are already doing to recruit our nation's warfighters. And with that, I'd be happy to take your questions. Yes, Caitlin.
Thanks, Kim. Kingsley, can you talk about the autonomy that's given to the commanders who are carrying out these operations, like Admiral Bradley, to make decisions? Like in this case, I'm assuming the first strike took out the boat and any actions that followed. Can you talk about the autonomy they're given?
Absolutely. So the secretary has been very clear in every statement that we've released about these strikes that they are presidentially directed. And the chain of command functions as it should. And we make sure that commanders on the ground are taken, their positions are taken into account, and they are able to tell us and make decisions if they see things that need to be flagged. But at the end of the day, the secretary and the president are the ones directing these strikes. And any follow-on strikes like those which were directed by Admiral Bradley, the secretary 100% agrees with. Yes, Matt.
Kingsley, if Nicolas Maduro leaves Venezuela today, what role will the Department of War have in a post-Maduro Venezuela? And describe the process the administration will use to determine whether or not current members of the Venezuelan military or Venezuelan government have a role in a post-Maduro Venezuela?
Thanks for the question. So the department has a contingency plan for everything. We are a planning organization. If anything were to happen around the world, we have a response planned and ready. So we stand at the president's beck and call, our commander-in-chief, to do what is needed if called upon. And that will be what this department continues to focus on and continues to prepare for in regards to our ongoing operations in the Southcom region. Again, our focus is taking out narco-terrorists and rooting out that threat that is poisoning the American people. Every single boat that we strike saves 25,000 American lives. That is a crucial mission to protecting the homeland, and we're proud to be a part of it.
Just as a follow-up, quickly, so, you know, following the departure of Saddam Hussein, there was this desire to name every Ba'athist a terrorist. Does the administration take the view that any person who served in the Venezuelan military or Venezuelan government is definitionally a narco-terrorist?
That would be a determination for the president to make, but I can tell you that every single person who we have hit thus far, who is in a drug boat carrying narcotics to the United States, is a narco-terrorist. Our intelligence has confirmed that, and we stand by it. Yes, Monica.
Thanks, Kingsley. I have two questions, if I may. For your first question regarding Sarah Beckstrom, the 20-year-old West Virginia National Guardswoman who was shot and killed, was her family offered an Arlington burial, and or would there be plans to do so?
I know that the White House is working that out, so they might be better to describe what the plans are for that. But this department will, of course, support in any way we can and have been, you know, in close contact with the family, and the secretary will continue to do so. So we'll keep you all updated on that.
Thank you. And my second question regarding Iran, there are reports that Iran's been planning on rebuilding its nuclear facilities. Iranian's president has said that it plans to rebuild its nuclear facilities with, quote, greater strength. Can you provide us on any sort of update on where that currently stands?
I can tell you that Operation Midnight Hammer was an absolute resounding success. Iran's nuclear capabilities were totally obliterated, and experts estimated that, you know, it would take 2 years for them to recover. So thanks to President Trump's bold and swift action, we were able to dismantle that threat to the American people. And I think it was also a historic operation by virtue of the fact that there was a clear end state. We have seen this department get marred down in the Middle East in endless wars, in nation building. That has stopped under this president and this secretary. We now have a clear end state, a clear mission set, and Operation Midnight Hammer was a success in dismantling that. Yes, Laura.
Thanks so much for having me here today. Now that the president has started the process of designating the Muslim Brotherhood as a foreign Islamic terrorist organization, will the Department of War still proceed with selling F-15 fighter jets to Qatar? And how will they be able to train Qatari pilots at their airbase in Idaho if Qatar is included in the designation?
Thank you for the question. We take very seriously our partnerships, and we always do thorough evaluations to make sure that they protect our intelligence, our operational security, and that they serve the best interests of the American people. The U.S. military has a longstanding partnership with Qatar, and we look forward to continuing that partnership at our airbase in Idaho. And I would just point out that, for reference, you know, the Mountain Home Idaho airbase is not just Qataris that train there. There are also Singapore military folks that are there as well. So it is a base that we do a lot of foreign military training, and we are thankful for those partnerships, and we'll continue to evaluate all of those to make sure, again, that national security is protected. That is the secretary's utmost priority.
But given the fact that the Qatari royal family and Qatar itself is the biggest financier, along with Turkey, of course, the financier of the Muslim Brotherhood, would that relationship and partnership be reevaluated since the designation could possibly include Qatar?
I'm not tracking any reevaluation at this time, but again, the secretary really keeps national security top of mind, and this administration does as well, so we will always make sure that American assets are protected. Yes.
Hi, David Zia, Real America's Voice. It's great to be here. I want to know if you can confirm any additional National Guard deployments under Title 10 in additional cities, and have any governors reached out for help under Title 32 as well? And how do you determine how National Guard troops, how many are armed?
Great question. So I don't have anything to announce at this time in terms of new deployments, but I can tell you that our mission set is critical. We are keeping American cities safe all across this country, and we are going to remain committed to that. These missions aren't going to stop in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in D.C. We understand the urgent threat that is facing many of these cities, and the National Guard is proud to step in alongside our law enforcement partners to help with that. And I can confirm that everybody in D.C. is now armed. And a lot of our D.C. National Guardsmen are now also doing joint patrols with members of the police department here in D.C. Their safety is, of course, top of mind, and we will continue to make sure that they're able to do their jobs in keeping all of our great Americans safe across our cities. Yes, Bradley.
We're now 90 days into these Venezuelan drug boat strikes. A growing number of members on Capitol Hill are getting their mettle up with regard to war powers. If they do move forward with some sort of war powers effort, will the administration seek to challenge the validity of the war powers resolution, or will it comply?
I wouldn't want to get ahead of the president's decision-making process in regard to Venezuela, but I can tell you what I mentioned earlier is that the department is a planning organization. We are always ready. We have plans for every single contingency, and we are going to make sure that when it comes to narco-terrorism, we're dismantling that throughout the Western Hemisphere, and you've seen that in the success of our strikes.
One follow-up, if I may. 53% in a recent CBS YouGov poll said they support the strikes on these drug boats, but 70% said no military operations within Venezuela. Nevertheless, members of Congress are increasingly calling for regime change there. What's the Department of War's message to those members of Congress?
The Department of War stands behind the president 100%, and we will execute on the orders that our commander-in-chief gives us, and we're proud to do so. That will continue. And again, any decision that is going to be made about certain military actions in the Western Hemisphere region will be the president's alone. Yes.
Todd Wood from CBN's Armed Forces Press. There's been a lot of reporting that, yes, it's about drugs in Venezuela, but also possibly about election fraud electronically. Do you have any comment on that? And also, are assets, we've heard that special operations aviation assets are exercising for direct action missions in that region. Can you confirm that at all?
On your first question, I would refer you to the State Department. I think they would probably be able to give you a better answer on that. But in terms of your second question, I can tell you that we are conducting training missions and exercises. We've got the Ford aircraft carrier now that is down there in the Southcom region. And as I said, the department's a planning organization. So a big part of that planning is doing trainings and make sure that we're ready at a moment's notice to protect our interests and to protect the American people from narco-terrorism. Yes, RC.
Has there been a determination at this point from the Army Secretary on a Distinguished Service Medal for Specialist Sarah Beckstrom?
I would refer you to the Army for that, and if I hear anything, I will keep you posted. That would be wonderful news. Yes, James.
Hi, James O'Keefe. Nicholas Terza, branch chief here at the Pentagon, was caught on a video in the spring stating, quote, Trump is illegitimate. We're going to resist him, quote, everything he does. We know there are other people like this that work here. My question is, what steps is the Department of War taking to identify and address personnel who are in the self-described resistance movement?
Thank you for the question. That's why the work you all do is so important. This is a big building, and we want to make sure that we have the absolute best people working at it to protect Americans every single day. We don't take lightly what every single civilian and military person in this building do every single day. They do a lot of hard work, and we want to make sure that they're up to the task, and that they're on board and willing to serve our commander-in-chief, who was elected by the whole of the American people to serve as our president. And we support him 100% here at the Department of War. That is our mission. That is our chain of command. So personnel is policy. The secretary has said that many times, and I know you all in this room are aware of that as well. That was really the crux of his speech at Quantico not long ago to the generals. Our people are our most important asset. So we will continue to make sure that our people are consistent putting America first. That's something we care very much about. Yes, Alex.
Thanks, Kinsley. Are there plans to host or hold more of these regular press briefings? And if so, how frequently?
Absolutely. We'd love to. It'd be great to get everybody in here. I know we have the Christmas holiday coming up, but we'd love to make it a weekly or biweekly tradition. So we're excited to have you all in the Pentagon for those.
And we receiving more readouts of the Secretary of War's meetings, you know, with the president yesterday, much like the State Department and the White House that provide readouts and scheduling and things like that. Will we be receiving more of those?
Absolutely. In the interest, as I said in my opening, in the interest of transparency, we want to make sure that you all are informed. That's a commitment we take seriously. Obviously, we're slightly different than other agencies in that we have national security and operational concerns, but we will tell you as much as we can because we want the American public to know all the incredible things that our warfighters are doing every single day and all the amazing initiatives the Secretary is pursuing here at the Department of War. Yes.
Thanks, Kingsley. Jordan Conrad from Gateway Pundit. I wanted to ask you, in May, the Secretary announced a new investigation into the Afghanistan withdrawal under Biden. In light of the recent events with one of these refugees killing a service member, is there any updates on that investigation?
I don't have any updates for you at this time, but I can tell you that the review that we're doing into the horrendous Afghanistan withdrawal under the previous administration, the Biden administration, is expected to be complete by summer of 2026. And we are committed to ensuring that this review, unlike others, is much more unredacted, that the American people are able to consume the report for themselves and see what truly happened on that fateful day and that fateful withdrawal. And we owe it to our service members to accomplish that. The review is being led by our chief Pentagon spokesman and senior advisor to the Secretary, Sean Parnell, an Afghan veteran himself. And he takes very seriously the responsibility to getting answers to the American people. So we are committed to that 100%. And in summer 2026, the public will be able to have that report. Yes.
Thank you, Kinsley. A question for you in regards to the Afghan withdrawal. When we brought all these migrants onto military bases or these refugees onto military bases, we saw a surge in assaults immediately after, sexual assaults and physical assaults. And then all of a sudden, under the previous administration, we no longer learned of anything that was happening anymore on these military bases. Does this Pentagon plan on giving us some type of criminal data on that to see what actually happened when they were brought onto these military bases? And do we have any status updates on, like, FBI investigations and such?
So for FBI investigations, anything that would be a criminal law enforcement matter would obviously be something to direct to the Department of Justice, as we cannot speak to that from our perch here at the Department of War. But what I can tell you is that we are aware of a lot of that activity that went on. It's despicable. One is too many, right? And we understand that the Biden administration unfortunately put our troops and our country last in many cases. The Secretary is committed to correcting that. And I think that's what you're going to see going forward. Yes.
All right. So that was,
thank you.
Host of this show, host of the American Journal, Brandon Morello, asking a question to the Pentagon spokesperson. You know, there are a couple times where I felt like interrupting right there, but honestly, it was interesting, and the questions being asked are good. And really, what we're witnessing here is a real sea change. It's like I'm dreaming or something. So you've got a Pentagon press briefing, but I recognize half the people there. I saw Savannah Hernandez, I saw Brandon Morello, Laura Loomer, James O'Keefe is there, somebody from Real America's Voice, somebody from Gateway Pundit, somebody from InfoWars, of course, Brandon Morello, or, you know, ex-InfoWars TPUSA representative, Savannah Hernandez. This is crazy. This is awesome. And they're asking good questions. And I was going back and looking up some transcripts from other, you know, Pentagon briefings where the AP is asking questions. And half the time it would literally descend into like a shouting match as they're like, so you're not going to be sending food to this place? And just like, just causing outrage, causing dissension. Again, here we actually get pertinent questions about what the intentions of the Trump administration are. You know, the Pentagon's going to be, you know, she's got her talking points and she sort of returns to, you know, the prefabricated statements. You know, I don't expect her to be all that transparent. But the fact that we have independent reporters in there, uncontrolled, not mainstream media reporters in there, InfoWars reporters in there, is just absolutely mind-blowing and incredible. And they're asking very good questions. And, you know, the only thing I'd say I'm a little disappointed in from the Pentagon right now is, again, talking about treason and sedition of people like Mark Kelly, as if they can't do anything about it, as if they just have to let it continue and hope everybody else is as outraged as they are. Like, isn't Mark Kelly in the military? Can't you court-martial him? Why are you telling us he's treasonous? This is nonsense. We'll go back to this on the other side. This is fascinating.
You are beyond insane. If you don't support us, if you don't support this broadcast, I mean, I'm being honest. It's like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. It's like going into the Sahara Desert without a canteen of water. It's like sticking your wiener, you know, in somebody that's got 14 diseases without a condom. Sorry for the gross thing. The point is, shouldn't do it anyways. The point is that I need your support. And I'm only going to sell you stuff that works really great. Like I said, I've opened a restaurant to be the best food, best prices, best atmosphere, quality, service, because I want you to come in 1,000 times. I want a relationship with you. The products are insane. Ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, not a sexy name, but what it does for your hair, skin, and whole body, everything else is insanely good. We got the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesShore.com right now, running until Friday. Black Friday comes early. Buy any supplement. You can buy a supplement that costs $20 and then get a $40 supplement for free. It's not just buy one, get another free of the same thing. We've done that quite a few times. This is buy any supplement, get any other one free. All the new designs, all the new apparel in, the biggest selection of Patriot apparel in the world. Now 670-something designs, ball caps, you name it. 25% off on all that and a bunch of other insane sales. If you're a VIP, you get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers. Anybody, anything should be a VIP. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war. Share the live feeds.
What are you looking at? Do you have a problem?
You are the backers of this operation. You are the InfoWar. So go now to InfoWarsStore.com, where we got probably the final shipment of the highest quality fish oil and the highest quality turmeric, Body's Ultimate Turmeric, 95% cumin. Those are both 40% off. I want to thank you all for your past support, but you've invested in this operation. It's paid off in global awakening. It's been so incredible. Thank you so much for being at the heart of this operation. So I ask all of our family members in the InfoWar, all of our team members, all of the emissaries, all the ambassadors of freedom against the globalists, that now at the thick of the battle, as you see it peaking and peaking and peaking, just as I've said, I don't come out here and talk about civil war and their plans for insurrection, their plans for military coups, just to sound scary. And then now if they're openly calling for it. U.S. senators, members of Congress, CIA, because we're beating them, and it's the last move they've got. We're also going to add a link at InfoWarsStore.com today. You can make straight donations on there so that we get all the money and we can get past the shortfall. So I don't want to spend our valuable time on this.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Amazing things are happening, folks. Today at 1 p.m., Tuesday, December 2nd, 1 p.m. Central, live on X at Real Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes, Alex Jones, debating the topics of our times, the historical nature of the modern political events and where we go from here, the inflection point, and which side of the fulcrum we value. I really think it's like an important thing every time Nick and Alex talk. It's been a little while since they reconvened, and it's sort of, it's an intergenerational thing
where it's like Nick is fantastic at what he does. There's a reason that he is become who he is. There's a reason that people flock to him. There's a reason that his clips go viral over and over and over. And it's because he's extremely talented in expressing his view and just painting a picture of the modern world that reflects people's personal observations of the world around them, especially for young men. But Alex Jones has been in this for 35 years. He knows what he's doing. And, you know, in a way, I always, like, even if I didn't work here, even if Alex wasn't my boss, I would still defend Alex from the, you know, slander or the insults against him, because he has a proven track record. He's built this place up from nothing against all odds, against massive resistance. He has shown us the blueprints. And you've got all these young people that are waking up to this stuff for the first time, but in a way that is so different than the way that people like me came to understand this stuff. Like, I didn't have X growing up. I wasn't delivered this stuff on a platter to where it's just this deluge of red pill information that I think fries people's brains a lot. Back in the day, you, no matter what, you got a slow drip because you'd find out about Alex Jones. You started watching him. You had to go out and look for it. You had to search it out. You often had to wade through a lot of nonsense and a lot of horrifying stuff just to get to the little nugget of truth at the bottom. And through that process, and for those of us that have been outside of the cave and in the real world, not in the Matrix, for decades now, it's a little like disconcerting seeing all these young people, you know, decide that they know everything because they, you know, have seen memes on X for the last couple months. It's like, well, we've been in this for decades. We know how this works. We can see the false dichotomy that a lot of people are falling into right now. So again, it's like you've got the young maverick Nick Fuentes causing all sorts of trouble. It's almost like he needs the Obi-Wan Kenobi. He needs the Obi-Wan Kenobi to guide him in the same way Luke Skywalker did. That's actually a very appropriate metaphor now that I think about it. And Alex Jones is that Obi-Wan character who can help guide the revelation and this ever-growing movement, fueled in no small part by just the outrage that people feel when they realize how deliberate all of this has been. And that's really the understanding that I think defines a conspiracy theorist, is the understanding that that old phrase, you know, never attribute to malice what can be explained by incompetence, is actually bullcrap. And actually, it's malice. Actually, it's not incompetence. It's on purpose. It's by design. And whether it's you not being able to afford a house or your kid being trans, that's the point. That's on purpose. It's not an accident. It's not incompetence. It's actually extreme competence and evil combined. That's a real understanding that people need to have. InfoWars, of course, has led the way on this. And I don't even know if I understand the true impact of what we're witnessing at the Pentagon right now. Because you have to understand that journalism in places like DC is a two-way street. They're not just the people that tell the citizens what the government is doing. They also warp and shape government policy by their questions. The government understands what the American people want through the questions that the journalist asks. And I almost want to reference like the House of Cards scene where they have, you know, the Frank Underwood conspires with a news reporter to ask a question. I think it's about the Holocaust or something. And he says, "You wrote a paper in college about the Holocaust," and Frank Underwood is watching the interview on TV, and the guy that he's targeting sort of snickers at the joke or snickers at the question, and Frank Underwood is like, "We got him. That's it. That's all we need. We just need the laugh. Now we can spin this into a scandal. Now it's, you laughed at the Holocaust. How dare you laugh?" And it's like, this is the way journalism is used. You send people in with questions that Americans aren't actually asking, but that help you frame the narrative, get the Pentagon on the back foot. So they're trying to answer your question. They're trying to sort of placate you by agreeing to do what you're demanding. It's a two-way street. And now that we have actual patriots in the press briefing room who can ask pertinent and genuine questions about what's going on, we can get genuine answers, and we can express our concerns through the journalists, who instead of asking questions like the classic one from Trump was that reporter woman raised her hand being like, do you believe slavery is bad? It's like, what is it? And it's all about crafting a narrative, right? Nobody thinks Trump likes slavery. It's the most ridiculous question ever, but you get him to answer off the cuff and maybe he doesn't phrase it exactly right. So it becomes a thing that you ask him over and over. And every time he's doing a press conference, it's earlier you said slavery wasn't a bad thing. Would you like to clarify that? And it's just that's how you generate and fabricate narratives. This is a scene from House of Cards. And this is how it works. You get the reporter to ask the leading question or to frame it in a way that makes the other person look ridiculous, right? There it is. That's it. That's all we needed, the laugh. It's not sincere. It's not like the questions are actually matter or it's things people are concerned about. It's all this gamesmanship to try to craft narratives, to shape perception, to get policy passed. Now that we're in the driver's seat, like, it's mind-blowing. It is truly mind-blowing. And it just represents yet another example of InfoWars really rising above the attacks and succeeding despite all of the efforts to thwart us at every pass. If you want to back a horse that has shown that it can win races, that has shown that we can survive everything they throw at us and maintain the course of really, really sincerely, genuinely trying to set America on the right course, not falling into the traps that they set for us, not indulging in the hate that they would love if we would just, you know, go off the rails and start being the hateful morons that they portray us as. We never fall for that because we're guided by the shining North Star of Americana, the founding fathers, the Constitution, and real human liberty, not the faux liberty that they present to us, which is just slavery in disguise. I hope you can support us in this mission. We make it incredibly easy for you to do so. We don't even ask for money. We want to sell you things. We have products that are well worth the cost at full price. And then they're on massive discount all the time. And we're giving away trucks. We're giving away cash. How many more reasons do you need to support us? We do what we say. We are mavericks that are uncontrolled, that tell you the truth, regardless of what anybody feels about it. We are continuing to set a new standard in, you know, alternative or independent news coverage. We got people at the Pentagon as we speak, asking pertinent questions. We have incredible products that you will love. We have gifts for the InfoWarriors and your family. I mean, how many more reasons do you need to go to InfoWarsStore.com? Because I've got 12 of them. I've got 12 new reasons. They're the 12 days of Christmas, and it's the 12 days of Christmas sale live now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. We'll be running a series of limited time sales for the next 12 days. These sales could end without warning, so make sure you take action before they end. All supplements are buy one, get one free while supplies last. This sale ends Sunday, December 7th. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement free. You can mix and match any of these amazing supplements together. Do not miss out. This offer will end soon. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com today. Fuel your body, mind, and power the InfoWar. Plus, of course, every purchase gets 50 times the entries to win our Jeep Rubicon 392 plus $10,000 in cash or a brand new Ford Raptor plus $10,000 in cash, all available for you at TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Now, we're going to return to the Pentagon briefing here. Some more pertinent questions are asked, but just returning to everything that she'd said, because she's covered a lot of stuff already. And like I said, I kept thinking about interjecting, but I wanted to see who was asked questions, who would be asking questions next, especially since we know so many people in the press briefing room. It's exciting to see your friend get to, you know, put a question to the Pentagon. But to me, what stands out is what she said about sedition and treason. And these are not light words. These are not off-the-cuff phrases. She's not saying these are very bad things. She's using a legally potent term, treason, sedition. Just how is it that we have officials in the American government calling something treason, but the people doing that thing are both not arrested, not indicted, not being silenced, but actually still going on TV and actually making it worse. Now, this has happened a few times, but let me explain how this goes. You've got multiple codes of law in America, all of which have provisions against doing exactly what the Seditious Six did. It's not up for debate. It's not a matter of interpretation. They broke the law. It's clear cut. It's as clear as it could possibly be. The way the law is written, 18 U.S. Code 2387, I think is what it was. 2387, I think that's right. In no uncertain terms, the attempt to sow dissension, the attempt to convince soldiers to question their orders is illegal, flat out. And I could stop there. And all of the six of these people should go to jail just on the basis of that one video. Nothing else matters. But then they go on TV and they're asked, what illegal orders are you talking about? And I've been over this on the war room, so not to repeat myself, but essentially the U.S. code says unless the order is manifestly illegal. And they actually give examples for things that would be considered manifestly illegal. One of them is like raping prisoners of war or mass murder of innocent people. Yeah, you don't have to put Jews in the gas chamber. Okay, if you're ordered to put Jews in a gas chamber, you can say no. Beyond that, you don't really have an ability to say no to orders. In fact, in the U.S. code, it explicitly says that thinking that civilian law might contradict your orders is not a valid excuse to disobey orders. Okay? Then the Seditious Six go on TV, and when they're asked what examples of illegal orders they're talking about, they say things like the National Guard being deployed on American streets for crime prevention. Okay, so if all they did was say, don't follow illegal orders, I still think that's in violation of the law. It's still an attempt to sow dissension. It's still an attempt to disrupt the chain of command. It's just so obviously treasonous. It's crazy that they're just still out there doing it. And if that's all they said, it would still be illegal. But when they go on TV and try to elaborate on what they're saying, they are doubling down on the fact that what they're encouraging soldiers to disobey, the orders they're encouraging soldiers to disobey, are lawful orders. It's not even up for debate. They're saying that, oh, these strikes on the boats are unlawful orders. That's not true. No, again, in the code, in the U.S. 182387, they specifically say stuff like that does not count as a legal order. So since they're referencing that as the quote-unquote illegal order that they're saying to disobey, what does that mean? By the transitive property, what that means is they are telling people to disobey lawful orders. They can call them illegal, but then when asked for an example, they list a legal order or they list a deployment that in the code is explicitly laid out as not being a valid order for disobeying. I mean, it's like, so it's just crazy. It's just crazy that you've got the Pentagon and the president and all these people saying these people committed treason, they committed sedition, and then those people are on TV that day clarifying that, yeah, the orders they're saying to disobey are the lawful ones. What are we doing? What are we doing here? What is this? It's just maddening. I said this yesterday, what could they do to get arrested? I mean, they're clearly pushing the envelope. They're clearly feeling confident that, okay, we've already committed sedition and treason and they didn't do anything. Let's do it more. Let's go even harder. Let's expand what we're saying to disobey. If they're saying that the illegal orders are bombing these boats, again, that is just explicitly not what you're allowed to disobey. Okay, so they have confirmed by their own words, they are encouraging the military to disobey lawful orders. Does that make sense? Do people get what I'm saying about this? I genuinely don't know anymore because I don't know how this isn't obvious to everybody. Wild, truly wild. And we can go to more videos of this. Well, let's go back out to the Pentagon press conference here.
Let's just go back. South Comp strikes real quick. Just broadly speaking, not specifically about September 2nd strike, but broadly speaking, are we doing any kinds of post-strike assessments to determine that the intelligence that informed those strikes was accurate? Are we recovering any drugs on board those vessels? You mentioned
it's a good question.
Each vessel struck is equivalent of 25,000 overdose deaths. So are we mostly picking up fentanyl or cocaine or what have you? What's going on with these boats? Like, what's on these boats?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So I can tell you in terms of your question about intelligence that our intelligence absolutely confirms who these people are. And I can't get into right from this podium how we know that. I don't want to communicate to the enemy the ways in which we're carrying out these strikes. But I can tell you that without a shadow of a doubt, every single one of our military and civilian lawyers knows that these individuals are narco-terrorists. We know what they're carrying, where they're coming from, and where they're going. And they are trying to bring drugs to our shores that kill and hurt American citizens. The president takes that very seriously. And when he designated these groups designated terrorist organizations, that opened up a lot for us here at the Department of War. We can engage in ways that we never could before. So that's all I can say at the moment on that topic, but I can 100% affirm that we know without a shadow of a doubt who these narco-terrorists are. Yes, Wade.
So you were speaking earlier about the Washington Post report concerning the Secretary of War and Admiral Bradley. And my question is, does the Department of War plan on pursuing any sort of legal action against the Washington Post? And what consequences will there be for lying to the American people? Because, of course, the implication there was that Pete Hegseth and Admiral Bradley are war criminals. And that was the implication, and that's what a lot of people on social media were saying after the fact. So could you speak to that?
Yeah, it is frankly disgusting that the Washington Post would publish something that is so insanely false. And we've seen this from the mainstream media before, right? Anonymous sources that are being quoted that probably have no idea what's going on. And the Washington Post actually went so far as to falsely attribute a quote to the Secretary of Defense of War, excuse me, that he never said. That is preposterous that they would write that and pass that off as true journalism. Thankfully, the New York Times stepped in and corrected the record and let the American people know that what they were publishing was absolutely fake news. So the Washington Post, I think readership should think twice before reading that outlet again. It is disgraceful that they call themselves journalists. And we told them as such, right? We get press queries like we do from all of you. We told them this story was completely fake news on Thanksgiving evening with a 3-hour deadline, and they still published it anyway. It's disgraceful, but thankfully the American people see through it. Yes, Jack.
Kingsley, does the Secretary's office or the Pentagon in general, the department, have a message for Senator Wicker, who, as a Republican, has now backed this inquiry into Secretary Hegseth, again, accusing him of war crimes? It seemed strange to see a Republican going after one of President Trump's own cabinet members.
So I can confirm that the Secretary of War spoke with Senator Wicker, and they had a good conversation where he was able to explain to him a lot of the rationale behind these strikes. And we work closely with all of our partners on the Hill, whether Republican or Democrat, to keep them up to date on what this department is doing in regards to the strike. So we will continue to do that, and we'll continue to brief members of HASC and SASC, and we look forward to continuing those relationships.
Quick follow-up. You mentioned working with partners on the Hill. Another senator on the Hill, the Democrat side, is Senator Mark Kelly. Now, we heard some reporting about a possible investigation into him regarding his status as a retired member of the United States Navy, still on pension, and therefore still under the jurisdiction of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And as such, his membership, you mentioned the Seditious Six, would that be grounds for possibly bringing him back to active service for an investigation, for NJP, or even a full court-martial?
So you're correct. The Department of War received serious allegations of misconduct against Senator Mark Kelly. And in accordance with the Uniform Code of Military Justice and other applicable recommendations and regulations, we're doing a thorough review of all of these allegations. And the Secretary of War has tasked the Secretary of the Navy, John Phelan, with doing a thorough review, looking into all of these allegations, and providing him an update on December 10th. So we will have more information to come on that. But I would just add that this despicable video that Mark Kelly participated in with the Seditious Six was a politically motivated influence operation that was an attempt to undermine the chain of command, to sow distrust and division in our armed forces. That is absolutely ridiculous, and it puts our warfighters at risk. And again, he doubled down on the Sunday shows. I don't know if you all saw him on the Sunday shows, but he basically insinuated that service members who do not defy President Trump's orders could face potential prosecution in the future when Democrats are back in power. He even called our troops and likened them to those of the Russian military. This is totally disgraceful from an elected official, and the department takes it very seriously, and that is why we have launched this review.
This is Jack Posobiec asking these questions. I want to hear what else he says.
What was the question? Sorry.
If Secretary Phelan were to recommend court-martial, that could be an option on the table?
All options are on the table at this moment in time, and we look forward to getting the Secretary of the Navy's review. And the Secretary of War has been very clear in his statements as well that he takes this extremely seriously, and it is unacceptable. That's all the time I have today. Thank you all so much. I really appreciate you coming out.
Wow. Well, that's very good to hear that they're taking it so seriously. Again, another really good series of questions from Jack Posobiec. And I really can't overemphasize what a monumental sea change this is, seeing Jack Posobiec, Matt Gaetz, Brianna Morello, Laura Loomer, Savannah Hernandez, James O'Keefe. These are the people putting questions to the Pentagon right now. And you can just imagine what the questions would have been if it was Washington Post and the AP there. It would have been, Trump has said that, Trump has said that this is sedition and they wouldn't even say that. They would say, Trump has threatened to hang Mark Kelly. Is Trump really learning how to tie nooses right now? Is he going to do it himself, or is he going to get somebody else? Like, the ridiculous questions that frame it in a certain way to project to the American people that the journalists are standing up for their interests when it's all completely fabricated, total nonsense to create a narrative to undermine the Trump administration, to have people like Jack Posobiec now able to ask the actual questions that, I don't know, people like myself actually want to know the answer to. What's going to be done to Mark Kelly, and why are you not court-martialing him? These are the questions that need to be asked, because, again, journalism isn't just about reporting to the people what the government says. It's about getting the government to move on the people's concerns, because the journalists are the ones who translate the people's concerns to the authorities there. So this is really an incredible thing. And I got to give kudos to the Trump administration. No qualifications, no holds barred. Like, it is really amazing what they've been able to do by opening up the press rooms to these independent journalists who deserve it, who have paid the price and paid their dues and actually succeeded independently, not because they've been tapped by some multinational corporation to be a spokesperson for the military-industrial complex. These are actual independent reporters who have made their name on telling the truth, are now in the room asking the questions that dictate the policies. Incredible stuff. And I would tack this on a gold star for Trump on this. He gets a trophy. Stay tuned, folks. Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes coming up later today. Right now on thealexjonesstore.com, you get buy one, get one free for any supplement. That includes our incredible Ultramethylene Blue, either the tincture or the capsules, as well as the Shilajit gummies, the Colostrum Plus, the Bovine Colostrum Plus, the Irish Sea Moss gummies. I mean, there's a lot of really incredible stuff. I'm here in studio with Patrick Byrne. I know you're a big fan of the Ultramethylene Blue. Right now, that's buy one, get one free. All supplements, buy one, get one free. It's the Black Friday, came early, mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, we have a new deal. It's the Hat of the Month Club, where you can sign up and get a new hat every month, which is very fun. Of course, Christmas is coming up, folks. It'll be here before you know it. So do your Christmas shopping for the info warriors in your life. Patrick, you still all hopped up on Methylene Blue?
I am. I pilfer a bottle every time I come. You guys pay me in Methylene Blue. When it's been more than 60 days since I've been here, so I run out, I will absolutely notice within a few days. A few days, my life goes back to being a little more lethargic than I should, wanting to sleep in. And it's not like speed or something. This is something, it's just you feel healthier.
It's like a clean, smooth energy. It's not coffee where you're sort of jittery. It's just like you just sort of It's like putting super gasoline in your car rather than the regular stuff. It's subtle, but you notice it.
You do.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.